Hey, what's going on, everybody? Sorry, I haven't posted a new podcast interview yet. We've been traveling, and we've been busy with setting up for a show coming up at Marshall Pint on May 4th, which is exciting. It's a hip hop showcase, so that's going to be really, really fun. There's details for that on the Facebook group. So if you want to submit to the show, there's no entry fee for that. You can also go to the Art Alliance website under Calls for Art, and you can find the entry information on how to enter for that. So we've been really busy, and I haven't had a chance to nail down a next interview yet, but I do have some ideas cooking. I did want to post an episode this week because it has been a little while. And the episode that I wanted to cover was actually something that I'm uncovering in my own artwork now, and it has to do with storytelling. And for those of you that already have a good handle on that, I am very envious of you, because storytelling has always been more of a challenge for me. I've never really understood storytelling until most recently. Shelby, if you guys remember Shelby, my wife, she is a writer. She's currently working on a novel. And she understands story structure better than anybody I've spoken to. And we have recently started reading a book together that talks about the story structure. And I wanted to dive more into that because I wanted to understand the approach to storytelling as a visual artist. And I know that as writers, they are able to do a really good job of telling a story and what are the elements to go into it. And so my thinking was, well, artwork is all art is supposed to tell a form of story. It's just that there are different elements that writers use in order to get the story across. But as I see it, the visual story, as we see in movies and television, rely on the written word in order to accurately depict what's going on in each scene. And that ties together an overall arc, right? And so this is something that I've started to learn, and I really wanted to talk about in this podcast because I think it might actually help some other visual artists that struggle with that. I think that we lean on very oversimplified versions of visual ideas that might resonate with us, but they don't go deep enough to actually spark some idea of storytelling. One artist that I think that does a really good job of that locally is Zoe Flores. Zoe, if you're listening to this, then I'm going to reference our conversation that we had at the Artist for Artist show. She was standing next to her artwork, the one in the big room where you kind of walk in and the artwork is kind of in a circle, half circle. So the artwork that was in there was a picture of clowns that she had. Was inspired by a poem. Sorry, I don't remember the name of the poem, Zoe, but I remember what you told me about it and how it reflected what it was that you were trying to convey in the painting itself. And that to me was like one step further in visual storytelling than what I've normally done. And so I really took that to heart. And then there was another painting she showed me in the hallway, which again was about storytelling using a couple reference points. And so I really kind of resonated with that, and I really wanted to dive into learning a little bit more. So the book that we're reading is by Robert McKee. He's a very famous screenwriter for television and movies. And the book is called Story, Style, Structure, and Substance. So far, it's amazing. It really has opened my eyes to understanding how story develops. And in a lot of examples that I've seen across the internet and podcasts and blogs and those types of things, writers have this stage where the idea is developing, and they have a practice that they use in order to get a hold of the idea. And that to me has always been the challenge, is like, how do I start the idea? Like, how do I form the story from an idea? And it has to start with, what if this happened? That's what they use. They use that question. What if this happened? And they just sort of start formulating the idea from there. I love that prompt because it leaves something open-ended to develop a story. And I realize that in fan fiction, that is also a normal thing that writers use in fanfic to add to fanfic lore and develop different story types. So, you know, a good example of that is like 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey is fanfic for Twilight. And so if you look at the author, I don't remember her name, but I'm sure y'all do remember her name. She took Twilight and said, well, what if Edward was a rich, you know, millionaire, billionaire, if you will. And, you know, what if, you know, she was, you know, in this sort of submissive role? Like, wouldn't, but the dynamic between that, you know, their relationship is still sort of similar, but it takes on a sort of it's a different setting, right? And the characters themselves are sort of similar. However, the author has now taken liberties with, you know, changing some of the story, you know, and elements in there that's different than Twilight. And that to me is very interesting. It's very compelling. It's able to take a genre like, you know, fantasy, sci-fi sort of, you know, vampires and werewolves, and put it into a different genre. And tell a very similar sort of story, but a more adult version of that. And that, to me, is very striking. I look at that, I'm like, so there's a lot of examples where writers are able to do this with a prompt. So now I'm thinking to myself, I was like, okay, so if there's an idea that I have around something, then I have to start asking, well, what if this happened? And what if the setting changed? And because we're visual, you know, artists, we can take, for example, how, you know, filmmakers and TV, you know, producers and directors do a storyboard. For us, we're just storyboarding a couple scenes, if that, maybe just one. And that to me takes so much pressure off, because I'm like, I don't have to write a whole book, which to me is, I tip my hat to y'all that are writers, because that to me is so intimidating. But I can put that energy into one particular scene and focus on telling a moment in time, part of a story. Maybe it is the part of the story where, you know, the main protagonist, if you will, you know, in my artwork, is struggling with a decision. And how do I tell that representationally with visual elements? That means that now I can rely on color. I can use depth. I can use perspective. You know, I can, you know, I can divide up the canvas so that it's more striking because there's a visual element that's leading the eye. So that to me is like, now I'm starting to connect all the dots in terms of what elements do we use in order to convey something visually. It's just that I've never had the ability before this to dive deeper into telling a specific story that I want to tell that's personal, you know. And I could take, you know, something here's where I think is the end all be all in terms of like, well, what do you pick? Like, how do you decide on what to use as visual elements to tell the story? And we go back to genre. You know, like, I know we have a lot of artists here in town, younger artists that like fan art. To me, and we go back to Zoe again, Zoe used a form of fan art to tell a particular part of her story. And so she used those elements, and it wasn't just, you know, and I'll point myself out here. I'll call myself out. You know, I'll use visual elements from like a picture from a movie or a poster or, you know, a very, you know, common image of a musician or something like that. It doesn't tell a story. It's just, it has no plot. It's not, it's in storytelling, they call it slice of life, where nothing really changes. You just experience something in the moment and that's it. There's no story to it. And so, you know, of course there's a lot of art like that. There's abstract art, you know, there's pop art that doesn't really tell the story. And I feel like that's definitely a defining element of pop art. Like, it doesn't really tell a story. Could it? It could if you mix that genre up and decided to use different elements to tell that. But for fan art specifically, if you're thinking of, like, you know, I really like One Punch, you know, the anime series. If I really like One Punch Man, sorry. If I really like that, you know, anime, but I would like to tell more of a story of trauma that's happened to me through One Punch Man, that to me is compelling, and it does allow you to work within a specific genre. He's a superhero, you know, that isn't recognized by many, you know, he's always winning the fight so quickly that nobody really sees what he's done, you know, so it's really difficult for him to be the hero, right, of the protagonist. A lot of heroes recognize him, but the majority of the public does not. And so, you know, to me, that's a really compelling way of taking a genre like that and then incorporating your own elements into telling a different part of that story in a different way. So I'm learning that, and I think I wanted to share that this week because it was on the podcast, because it was really opening up a lot of possibilities for me. And, you know, again, I'll call myself out. I just have never really understood that before. And I really want to challenge myself to be able to tell, you know, the kind of stories that I want to talk about, the things that are, you know, powerful to me, the things that have changed me recently, the things that I see in the world that really bother me. And tell it through a means in which that I am familiar with. Like, I love Westerns. I love old 1970s, 80s, you know, Kung Fu cinema, the Bruce Lee, the Jackie Chan, the Gordon Liu, you know, like that. I know I'm very familiar with that genre. I also love hip hop. I also love, you know, anime and comic books. But I'm like, those are the genres, sort of, you know, and those are things that I can start to take and start to change and use in order to tell my story. And I can pull, you know, certain elements from that, change them, and incorporate them into the story, and use the elements of painting with brushwork, choosing colors, you know, size, material, medium, like all that stuff helps tell the story. And so that was really compelling to me. So we're still reading this book, Shelby and I, and it's wonderful because we really get to have these deep conversations. And I thought I'd just share that with y'all, because when it comes to visual storytelling, I think that the artwork that is most memorable are the ones that have that, some of those elements of storytelling. Again, I remember Zoe's painting because I was able to understand at a deeper level what those things meant. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot you can say about that. Now, does it mean that any other art isn't compelling? No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that all art is good. It's just that certain art goes a little bit further in being able to make the connection. And I really like, I mean, making the connection and deepening the connection is what I should say. And so I really want that. I really want that experience to be deep and memorable. And some paintings are good and people can connect to them. But that, in my opinion, I think, like, pop art, the stuff that I've done a lot in my career is superficial. I'll be honest with you. And it's not taking away from anybody else that does pop art. I can just tell when it's not memorable because there's no deeper connection. Now, in some cases, somebody might have a deep connection that's just unique to them and they apply that to the painting. And so it is deep in that sense, but it doesn't come from me. You know, there's nothing I'm conveying. I'm just allowing them to determine that for themselves by using, you know, a reference, and that's it. And okay, that's great. And symbolism, you know, also lends to that. If it's not attached to story, it can sort of have that same sort of effect. But I want to go a step further. I want to start to learn how to develop those stories on my own and start to tell that either through a series of work, that's connected all together, or through just one, you know, a couple studies or a one-off. And that's something that I'm into currently. So I hope that helps. I hope that you are get something from the book. I'm going to put the title of the book and the author's name in the description. And, you know, I'd love to hear from y'all. So if you want to, I think there's a little questionnaire that comes on, I think, Spotify specifically. So, you know, I'll ask something like probably like, do you struggle with storytelling? Yes or no in your artwork? So, yeah, I think I'm also going to write a blog about this because I think that'd be very interesting as well to get everybody's take. So anyway, have a great time creating this week, and look forward to seeing everybody at the Muse and Mingle on April 5th. I got that wrong recently on a newsletter. So April 5th at the Chicken Farm Arts Center inside of the Tres Deuce studio. It's the first studio to your left as soon as you walk into the main area of the Chicken Farm where everybody walks through. It's going to be from 5:30 to 7 p.m. this Friday. And I hope to see you all there. It should be fun. You can also bring one art piece with you. It's got to be smaller than 11 by 14. And you have to have a label, and you have to leave with it at the end. It's sort of like a show and tell to see what everybody's work, what they've been working on lately. So that should be fun. Thanks to Keith and his family for allowing us to host the Muse and Mingle at their studio, and for everybody to get familiar with what the Chicken Farm has been doing lately. You know, Justin and Chastity have been doing an amazing job, and they're to continue to really knock it out of the park. So that's it, and we will hopefully see each other on Friday. So have a good day. Later.